Ron Van Dam hopes that his show will tickle your fancy. We suggest covering your fancy with both hands. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Oh, thank you, thank you.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I am the one they speak of. Make yourself comfortable. This won't hurt much. Not too much. I can't do the show when you're sitting like that. Could you not spread your legs, please? Thank you. All right. Quick, what day of the week is this? Thursday. No, you're wrong again. Monday. No, it's Friday. Oh, no, seriously? How did that happen? Well, it just does. It's the beginning of a weekend thing. Football is coming back. Ooh, that excites the pants off me. Who cares? People get excited about sports. Ooh. Try real life and see how that works for you. You know, it's okay. I mean, I get into sports every once in a while, not a lot, but I'm not a sports person at all. I call the cable company every month and say, look, why you charge me so much? I don't want the sports package. Well, it comes with it, Ron. I don't want it to come with it. That's like going to a restaurant and they bring you a steak dinner with the potatoes and all that stuff and it's $80. I don't want steak. I only wanted the potato. Sorry, the steak comes with it. $80. How much is a potato? $5. But I don't want the steak. Sorry, it comes with it. I don't like that. Quite obviously. So sports, yeah, passively. If I have nothing to do, I'll watch a game of something. But other than that, man, it's not like I get so excited I have to change my pants. It's nothing like that. I know I've never sports betted in my life because I figured, no, money means a lot more to me than throwing it out the window on the outcome of an event. I don't do that stuff. I'm not a betting kind of guy. I'm just not. It's pretty much, I bet you're going to lose. Oh, you're right. You're right. Every time I play the lottery, that lottery thing, you know, with the mega bucks and mega shoes and Megatron, and, you know, you can be a millionaire and, you know, the pot jackpots and flops tots, and I don't know what they're called. You know, the Powerballs. I thought that was a compliment. Hey, Ron, you got Powerballs. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. No, I don't get one number. Not one number do I get correct. And if I did, it wouldn't yield me anything, but I don't even get one number. I don't do that stuff. I just don't. Anyway, yes, I'm not into sports a lot. It's exciting sometimes, but usually not. And, you know, I don't know. I used to like sports, but as I got older, it was like, oh, I found that life is like a little more significant in other regards. So that's all I'm saying. Anyway, it's a little insight on me. Now tell me about you. Oh, that's right. We can't do that. Technologically, that doesn't work like that. I talk to you and you can't talk to me. Ooh, I kind of like that. That's not a bad concept. All right. I have a guest coming up later in the program. Actually, a couple of guests. Monday is the 9/11 thing. Every year we stop and think about how horrible things were on a particular day back in 2001. Oh my God. I mean, I was on the air at the time. I was doing morning talk radio, had a show from 7 a.m. until 10 a.m., 3 hours every weekday morning on a Boston Providence radio station. And, yeah, I went through that whole thing when we were on the air. Then we went to national news and let them take it from there when we knew what was going on. And it was horrific. So we have a young lady who went through that whole ordeal, and she'll be with us a little bit later on in the show and other stuff as well.
Yesterday.
Oh, my voice got so high when I became inquisitive.
You know, yesterday,
in my neighborhood, there are landscapers. There are people that work for landscaping companies. They mow your lawn. They trim your hedges. They edge your weed beds, your flower beds, whatever you call those things. They do fall cleanups, spring cleanups. They mulch. They put down fertilizer. They do all that stuff. And some of them in the winter, they do snow plowing. They're landscapers. They're called landscapers. I call them people to do stuff that I don't want to do anymore. That's what I call them. But, you know, people that do stuff that I don't want to do anymore is just a long, long thing to say. So we say landscapers. Many of them, let's be honest about it, don't speak English. They just don't. I mean, I'm nothing against them. I'm just saying they don't. I say to them, you know, can you, I have a little, my grass is getting a little bald there because the sun hits it wrong. Can you put something down, a grass seed or something? Oh, no, I didn't. Oh, okay. Thank you. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, they're wonderful people, and they do a great job. They're landscapers. But I did notice yesterday, which made me inquisitive, yesterday in my area, in my general vicinity, it was 98 degrees yesterday and humid. And they have the thing called a feels-like temperature because it feels like it's something else. Felt like it was over 100 degrees officially. Very hot outside. There were three landscapers that worked my lawn because I don't want to do that stuff anymore. I did it for years, for decades. I mowed the lawn for my father and my mother. I mowed the lawn in my own house, of a couple of houses I've had, and I mowed the lawn there and did all the pruning. I ate prunes. And there came a point in my life when I said, no, I don't want to do that anymore. Someone else is going to do that now, in the twilight years of my existence. So there you have it. But I did notice that they were wearing long sleeves. They wear clothing now that's it's like a fluorescent greenish yellow. That's what they wear, and I guess it's so no matter where they are, they don't get hit by a car or something. I don't know, but that's what they all wear now. This fluorescent stuff, so you can't not see them. It's the opposite of camouflage. Opposite of a soldier wearing camouflage. Landscapers and construction workers, they wear stuff that you can't miss. You can't miss them. Fluorescent green, orange, yellowish. There is no circumstance ever where a construction worker or a landscaper would say, "I can't. Where's my shirt? I can't find my work shirt." You'd never say that because that stuff glows in the dark. I mean, you can't lose that stuff. So anyway, so I'm looking at the landscaper in their bright greenish orange shirts, but they're sweatshirts, and it's 100 degrees outside. And my inquisitive mind came to surface. What do they do? Why do they all dress like it's the winter when it's 100 degrees outside? What's up with that? And that, of course, begs the question of the day.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? Today, what are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? Today,
it actually should be, what the hell are you wearing today? Now, I can't ask the landscaper that, A, because it's personal, B, and it's a little weird for me to ask a landscaper why they're wearing a sweatshirt. That's not my business. And also, their response would be in a language that I can't understand. So there's no point to that. So what did I do? I went to the Google machine, the official Google machine of the world champion Detroit Lions. I have no idea. So anyway, I go to the Google machine, and I'm typing in, why the hell do landscapers wear long-sleeve sweatshirts when it's 100 degrees outside? And apparently, they all do because they're supposed to. And so this is interesting. I found this interesting. You may not, but, you know, at a point, I don't care. Apparently wearing long sleeves, and this goes for anybody in really a hot climate when you're working. This goes for anybody, and it doesn't make sense, but it does. Listen. You wear long sleeves to protect your skin from drying, sunburns, and skin diseases. Landscapers are out in the sun all day. It doesn't matter what the temperature is. They're out all day in the sun. So they need to protect themselves. And I would say, well, why don't you just put a little suntan lotion on? Not enough, Ron, not for all day. So they wear these humongous hats that looks like they're picking rice from a paddy field in China to protect their heads because they will get skin cancer. And then, but I figure, well, you know, aren't these people, you know, aren't they indigenous to not having, you know, problems with their skin? No, everybody does, Ron. They would be burnt to a crisp if they were out all day in this kind of heat and sun. Skin diseases develop. It doesn't mean you're going to get a skin disease today or tomorrow, but it does mean when you're over 60 years old, you're going to have skin, you're going to have some problems. This is the kind of thing that you pay for it later. It's like going to dinner. You eat your dinner and you pay for it after you eat it. Same thing. You don't suffer now, but you'll suffer when you're older. No question about it. And your skin gets very dry as well. You'd have to keep it moist continually. And I don't see landscapers walking around with Noxzema jars, you know. So they're protecting their skin on their arms and the rest of their body by wearing long sleeves. Well, you'd say, well, aren't you going to sweat? Well, yes. But apparently, now, this doesn't make sense, but it does. Now, listen to me. You would figure, well, I don't want to wear any clothing on my body because I'm going to sweat. It's too hot outside. If you wear long sleeves, this is weird. There's actually, if there's a breeze in the air, even if there isn't, if you're moving around the air, the sleeves of your shirt or your sweatshirt cause like a little tunnel effect around your arm, and it shoots the air up there. I don't know. That's what the Google machine says. You're actually cooler in extreme hot weather when you wear long sleeves. What? It makes no sense, but it does make sense. But it doesn't make sense, but it does make sense. but it's what the Google freaking machine said, so it must be true. Why else would you wear a long sleeves in this extreme hot weather? Well, yeah, you're stopping from the sunburns and the drying skin and the skin diseases, but also you won't get stung by insects. You won't get stung by bees. Because sweatshirts, it's hard to get through that material. You're not going to get mosquitoes biting you because they can't get through the material. If you're a landscaper or a construction person, you're working with tools. I mean, you know, you can cut yourself badly or bump yourself or bruise yourself with just your bare skin when you're wearing long sleeves or something heavy. You know, it cushions you against bruising and hurting yourself. When you're a landscaper, you're brushing up against trees and plants and all that kind of stuff all day, you know, with the work that you do, and you can get scratched and hurt and get certain diseases and poisonous ivies. This protects your skin from that. Also, when you're wearing your bright, here I am clothing, you know, the bright yellow, green, orange stuff. When you're wearing long sleeves, you're that much more visible because now your entire body is glowing and go that kind of thing. Also, the direct heat of the sun on your skin is actually makes you hotter than if you have sleeves, and it doesn't make your skin that warm. I know. After I read this, I said to myself, well, why doesn't everybody wear long sleeves in the summer? I Googled further. I don't know when to stop Googling, apparently. I've got Google fever. Apparently, in extreme heat, we should all be wearing long sleeves. What? It doesn't make sense. But it does. But it does. But it does. No, it doesn't. Yes, it does. But it does. Yes, it does. Short sleeves apparently are not a good idea. I mean, if it's 80 degrees outside or 70, okay, yeah, all right. Or if it's really cloudy, okay. But in extreme heat, long sleeves, kids. But aren't I going to sweat? Not as much. Now, they're not saying, go put your winter coat on. Not saying that, but those are the benefits of long sleeves. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. I did not know that. I'm breaking into my winter clothes closet here. It's 100 degrees outside. I'm going to look like a schmuck, but so do the landscapers, because that just caught my eye. I mean, it's 100 degrees. I can't even walk out of the house. It's so hot. I can't walk my dog. My dog will melt on the pavement. I can't even go outside. These guys are out all day and they're wearing long sleeve sweatshirts. That's why. And it does look bizarre. It looks ridiculous, but there's a reason for it. My father used to tell me, Ron, there's a reason for everything. And as I grew up, I realized, no, there's not. No, there's not. People do things for no reason whatsoever. That's not true. But he should have said, Ron, there's a reason for everything when it comes to landscapers. Oh, okay. That would have been incredibly, like Confucius says, kind of stuff. That would have been amazing stuff. But he didn't say landscapers in the sentence. So it's dismissed what he said. That's the story. All right. Our first guest, I'm going to go right to the guests today. I'm sorry. I'm going to go right to the guests. On a serious note, you remember those days of terrorism? I mean, you couldn't get on an airplane with thinking it's going to be hijacked or blown up or something. I mean, it was just horrible. That was a very difficult time of life back at the turn of the century. We thought it was going to be wonderful, and I mean, half of us thought that you can't go to the turn of the century. There's going to be the apocalypse, and then didn't happen. Remember, the computers were supposed to not work because the computers wouldn't know, the 2000 thing. They were only like created to go to it. So that would create a havoc around the world. Never happened. Never happened. But 9/11 did. And we lived with terrorism, countries that want to destroy us like right now by creating criminal acts of mass destruction. They got away with it on 9/11. It worked for them. And it threw us into a smack in the face of reality. President Bush sent us into war for retribution when it didn't even really make sense, and half the country was in turmoil because we were fighting a war that didn't make any sense. It did, but it didn't. See, everything, that's the theme of today's show. It does, but it doesn't. It did, but it didn't. It makes sense, but it doesn't. So Bush, nice guy, you know, and all that stuff, but it didn't work out because it wasn't President Bush. It was the vice president who ran the country. It was Cheney. Cheney was president. You didn't know that, did you? And then Obama came along. Those were 8 good years, baby. I don't care what side of the fence you're on. Those were 8 good years. And Obama actually broke up those terrorist cells, took out the terrorist ringleaders. Did it. Brought the country back together again. We felt safe for a period of time again. I'm going to say something that a lot of people will not appreciate in a very serious vein. You're not going to like what I'm going to say, but I think I believe this. 9/11, turn of the century, 2001, the terrorists were out to destroy us. Here we are in 2023, getting into 2024. And for the past few years, with the insurrection on January 6th, etc., terrorists can rest assured, it's okay. We're going to destroy ourselves. You don't have to even try to do that. We're doing it ourselves to ourselves. We're terrorizing our children in our own schools by just letting guns be prolifically available in many states automatically. We're allowing assault weapons. Assault weapons are only kill things. I mean, it's not target practice. It's not hunting. It's assault weapons are for warlike practices. But we don't ban those things at all. Other countries do. We don't. We don't do that. So we are basically, don't worry about it, terrorists, if there are any left, and I'm sure there are. You don't have to do anything to us. We're destroying ourselves slowly but surely, so don't worry about it. We're electing presidents here who might be going to jail, who are obnoxiously loud and disgusting. We elect our own leaders like that. We elect potential dictators, so we're taking care of it ourselves. Don't you have to worry about it. It's like playing football, you know, hey, I'll just say to the other team, you don't have to try very hard. We're just going to drop the ball ourselves all the time. So you don't even have to try to defeat us. We're going to defeat ourselves. That's my message, which means Americans, wake up. Wake up now. Stop this foolishness. Okay, kids. My guest joins us now. Let's say hello. Catherine DeBrino joins us now. She's a very interesting person. She was very intricate and involved in one of those days that you just never forget. Catherine, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
What part of the country are you in these days?
I'm in Dutchess County, New York.
There you go. And that is an interesting location because that entire area was under turmoil, as was the entire country, on September 11th. And what were you doing at that time?
At that time, I was working as an emergency room nurse at Bellevue Hospital in New York City.
Wow. You were greatly involved. Tell me what you saw and what happened.
At the hospital when we first got notified?
Yes.
Yeah, well, we were, you know, I started out as an ordinary day and, you know, cleaning up, you know, checking out patients, everything. We got a notification initially stating that a small plane hit the World Trade Center. And I'm thinking to myself, gee, that's terrible. And we kept getting these different notifications. Mm-hmm. And we went into disaster mode, preparing for the incoming wounded, which unfortunately never really happened. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of people came at that point.
Right.
And you know, then we found out that it was on fire, the towers, and then eventually they collapsed and everything.
Yeah.
And then eventually we were getting a lot of service personnel. We got a lot of service personnel that day.
Yeah, because they were running into the situation.
Yes, they were there when the towers collapsed, and
yeah.
It was very disconcerting because, you know, these are the people you go to when you need help. They're strong and brave, and they were coming in like wide-eyed, like kind of blank look, like they couldn't believe what they saw, and we couldn't believe like what was so bad out there that they're coming in like
yeah.
this.
It's interesting because, as I've said many times on the show, it's the only time in my life that I remember everybody coming together completely united. I had never seen that before, and to be honest with you, I haven't seen it since. As horrible as it was incredibly bonding between human beings, wasn't it?
It was. I truly believe inside people are truly innately good,
yeah.
You know, and I New Year's especially, I think we get a bad rap around the country,
right.
But when push comes to shove, I think we all band together for a common cause, and we help each other out a lot.
Yes.
Which was very relevant on that day, yeah.
Oh, there's no question about it. I lived in New York most of my life, in New York City as well, and we're a tough people, but at the same time, we look out for each other and for others as well. How long did it take you for you to get over the trauma of what you went through?
I think you always, like, the anniversary is coming up on Monday.
Yeah.
It just, mine always goes back to that. I think working as a nurse, you deal with a lot of trauma every day. And, you know, unfortunately, sometimes you don't have time to grieve at that moment. You're coming on, like, adrenaline to work. And then I guess it takes, like, you know, maybe weeks or days later when you kind of, like,
yeah.
calm down a little bit to figure out, wow, this really happened.
Yeah. Amazing. As I said, that was the worst period in history in my lifetime, but then we went through the pandemic just a few years ago. And in both situations, the roles of nurses and first responders, but especially medical nurses, it was like, whoa, these are soldiers. These are people that we always thought were just on the sidelines as assistants. But no, I mean, ever since 9/11, I mean, nurses have been like, wow, that's incredible what you do.
Yeah, but you're at the forefront of things. I had since retired since the pandemic came, but
mm-hmm.
I was always thinking about my friends. You know, that's how I wrote my book one Tuesday morning
yeah.
on my deck during the pandemic, thinking of them, you know, wishing I was there helping them. And knowing what they were going through, you can really empathize with them. Like the hard work they do, you get up every day, put your scrubs on, and just go to work. You don't
yeah.
have second thought. Yes.
But you're also putting yourselves on the line with people that are in trauma and people that are facing death sometimes, and people that could pass whatever they have on to you. I mean, it's amazing what you do. It really is, or what you did, but certainly what you do.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, once a person like that, you're always a person like that. And I guess that's the point of the book is to make people realize what really happens here.
Right, it gives an insight into what we do.
Yeah.
You know, many times you have to, you know, give up being with your family to go into
yes.
to help other family. But that's the profession we choose.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have no regrets about that. I love nursing, and there's so many good nurses out there. And, you know, we're just always there for the public.
Yeah. So is that what prompted you to write the book?
Being a nurse?
Yes.
I wrote it because I always wanted to write about my experiences working in the emergency room.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so many different things I could have written about. But at the time, it was just something that always stayed with me, and which is one, you know, episode in the career that I had that stayed with me a lot more. And, you know, like you can think about it like it just happened yesterday sometimes.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to bring that forefront out.
Yeah. Are there any lessons that you want people to know as a result of your experiences?
Just that being a nurse is a very, it's a challenging but worthwhile profession. I believe there's always good in people. And as a society, we're very strong inside. And I think we have to look to the past, learn from it, and just go on to a better future.
You said something very interesting there, that there's good in everybody. There's good deep down in people, even if they don't show it all the time. And I think what your book does is says, let that good part come out. Don't, you know, hide it by power and lying and all that stuff. Let the good part come out and live that part of your being. That's what I got from it.
Of course. You know, just don't be afraid to smile with somebody. You know, if you can smile somebody and they smile back, it means so much to a person. You may not know what, you know, that another person is going through, but that little smile might just give them an uplift for the day. And, you know, don't be afraid to reach out to others or say good morning to a person as you're walking by. And, you know, people do respond to that.
Very cool.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about the book. It's available everywhere.
It's available on Amazon.
Good. Well, that's enough.
Yes.
That's about it these days.
I guess so. Hopefully it'll be in Barnes & Noble one of these days.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, on Tuesday morning. It's a very small book. It's a really quick read, but it's a meaningful read.
Yeah. Well, Amazon's a lot more powerful because anybody can get it anytime, anywhere. Barnes & Noble, you have to search for some of those places sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's called One Tuesday Morning, and it's a fascinating story, and it kind of opens your eyes as to what happens behind the scenes. Hey, it's been a pleasure speaking to you, and thank you for doing what you do and for writing about it as well. Catherine,
thank you so much.
Take care, Catherine. Well, that'll do it for us today. I'll be back again on Monday with a brand new program. But until that time arrives, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I wish you peace.